Good morning, everyone. A warm word of welcome to the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to see each and every one that's gathered out. We welcome you in the Saviour's name, and we pray that the Lord will bless us as we're found in his house today. Those that are visiting as well, we give you a special welcome. Pray that the Lord will bless you as you're amongst us even today. Let me go through the announcements as quickly as possible. We do remind you of our special afternoon drive-in service at 3:30. This afternoon, and we do continue to invite and encourage each one, and even be busy inviting and encouraging others to come along and to hear the gospel as it's preached this afternoon. There's no prayer time before it, so just make your effort to be here for 3:30 at that service. And then because of the afternoon service, and there's no evening service, and so we do, though, value your prayers. We are going together to take a family and a friend's evening service up in Dunmurry. Alex has been asked to testify, and I've been asked to bring a closing word. Depending on how long she testifies, the closing word could be amen. But do remember in prayer, we do value your prayers much, that the Lord will bless in that service, and that the Lord will even undertake this evening as well. Wednesday evening, we meet for Bible study and for prayer at 8 p.m. here in the church. And as always, we encourage and invite God's people to be here and to be found in your place and to be studying God's word together and coming around the throne of grace in prayer every Wednesday evening. Then the services next Sunday, the normal times of worship, 11:30 and 7 p.m. with the seasons of prayer before both services. And I'll be here in the will of the Lord to conduct those meetings. After the morning service as well, being the first Sunday in July, we will be observing the Lord's table, and it's all open to all that are saved and going on with the Lord. We're commanded by the Lord to remember his death until he come. And so we encourage God's people to be here next Sunday and even remaining behind for the time of the Lord's table. And then after the communion time, if I could just have a minute with anyone who's available to help at the Holiday Bible Club. It's coming up in the month of August. We always like to do it, if we can, at the end of June, beginning of July, just before anyone goes off on holiday. The Holiday Bible Club for our church here will be the 22nd to the 26th of August. And if you can help, then next Sunday morning, if you could just remain behind just for a moment for that meeting, please. Can we just mention two other things for the month of September? Firstly, all being well, can I say to the ladies, there is planned another ladies' fellowship evening in the month of September. The date is to be confirmed yet, and the speakers to be confirmed, but there will be one in the month of September. And then going forward, God willing, there'll be four within each year, one every quarter for the ladies to have that time of fellowship together. Also, if you could keep a date free, Thursday the 15th of September, we've been asked to take part in the Let the Bible Speak recordings, and whenever the minister is asked, then usually they look some of a congregation to come and to be part of the congregation for those recordings up in our Lurgan Church. We did it before, way before COVID came, and it's our turn again to take part. And that date is Thursday the 15th of September. We'll mention that, and whenever, as time goes on, as we need numbers and names put down the sheet. But if you can keep that date, Thursday the 15th of September, to go along to Lurgan and to be part of those congregations for those recordings, please. There is a number of missions at this time. We encourage you to remember there's a week mission commencing in Bangor and our community hall there. And do remember the Reverend Moffat and the Bangor Church. And remember, of course, throughout the summer, the many children's missions and holiday Bible clubs that are taking place right across our land and further afield. Pray that the Lord will bless them and pray that the Lord's hand will be upon them. And even through it, the precious little souls will be saved and brought even unto the Lord. We're going to commence our worship. We're turning to the Psalm 119, and it's the 10th part we're going to sing together this morning. Psalm 119, you'll find that part on page 115, the verses 73 down to the end of verse 80. Thy hands hath made and fashioned me, teach me thy laws, O Lord. Psalm 119, the verses 73 to 80, and we'll stand after the introduction, please. Let's stand as we sing. We'll still ourselves in God's presence. Seek the blessing and the presence of God even this day. Eternal God and loving Father in heaven, we bow before Thee. And we do thank and praise Thee, O God, even for the goodness and the mercy of Almighty God towards us. Lord, in undertaking another week and another morning even already to us, we do praise Thee, O God, for the opportunity of being in Thy house. We praise Thee, O God, even in this moment for the opportunity of coming around the throne of grace. We thank Thee for the new and living way that Christ has opened on our behalf. We thank Thee, O God, that we can approach Thee because of the mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, O God, for His perfect life, His sacrificial death, and His glorious resurrection from the dead. We rejoice He's ascended into glory. He's seated at Thy right hand. And one day, O God, He is coming back. We thank and praise Thee for the hope that that gives us, the joy in our hearts to know that our Saviour is alive, to know that our Saviour is even now praying for us, to know that one day the desire is there and the plan is there, that His bride will be gathered unto Him. We thank and praise Thee, O God, this day, therefore, that we are gathering together to worship and to praise a living and a true God. We're not coming around some statue that has been made of stone or of wood, but rather we are coming before a thrice holy God, one who lives and one who lives forevermore. We thank Thee for the power and the control of our God, that He is the great sovereign of heaven and of earth. We thank Thee, O God, that He is greater and His majesty is more excellent than any other. And Father, we come to Thee this day rejoicing in the privilege which is ours to know Thee and the privilege which is ours to be known of Thee. We thank Thee, O God, for Thy hand of mercy upon us. We thank Thee, O God, for watching over us another week. For every blessing that we have received of Thy hand, Thou hast been faithful to us again. We raise our Ebenezers. We give Thee all of the praise and all of the glory. We are so thankful for another opportunity to be found in Thy house this morning. And for Thy hand of mercy and even in regards to health and in traveling mercies to each one. And Father, we do pray that Thy blessing will be upon us even as we are found in Thy house. Oh, that the presence of God will fill this house. Oh, that the glory of God will descend upon this house. And this day that we will not simply see man or see each other round about, but rather that we will see Christ. That we will see God even in this house this day. That we will see the power and experience the presence of God like never before. Lord, remember our needs even as we are here this day. Remember the needs, O God, of each one. And Father, we pray that our praise and our worship will be acceptable and will be unified together even unto Thee. Father, we pray for the help in the reading and in the preaching of Thy word. As the book is opened once again, O Father, we do pray that Thy Spirit will speak to us even through it. We pray, O God, that the Spirit will apply the word as it needs to be applied to each and to every heart. Our minds are also upon this afternoon, O God. We do pray for Thy blessing upon that drive-in service. We pray that Thou wilt bless and that Thou wilt undertake, that Thou wilt dry up the weather, O God, and that Thou wilt even give a favourable afternoon, and Lord, that Thou wilt bring in unsaved. Thou knowest the invitations that have been given. Thou knowest even the advert there upon the Facebook page, and Lord, the many that have seen it. And Father, we do pray that Thou wilt even strive with hearts, that Thou wilt stir individuals, O God, to come and to hear the gospel. And this afternoon we pray that there will be many Lydias even in our car park. Those that their hearts are opened by the Lord. Those that the Lord enters in and does that great and that wonderful work within their hearts. Father, we pray for the going forth of the gospel. We pray for the power of God unto salvation. We pray that Thou wilt bless it. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt use it. And this day that salvation will come to this area. This day that the Lord will visit. This day that the Lord will come and will move within hearts, that regeneration will take place, that those that are dead will be made alive in Christ Jesus. O Father, do a wonderful work. Remember, even across this land in these days, we think of the plans that many have, even over these next number of months. We think of missions, we think of open-air services, drive-in services. We think of holiday Bible clubs. We think, O God, of outreach, tract distribution, the many efforts that are made even in these summer months. Lord, that Thou wilt bless. O God, we pray for the moving of the Holy Spirit in our land and in our nation. We pray for the breath of God to come in such a mighty way that Thou wilt blow upon the dearth and the wind, O God of evil, that Thou wilt blow away even the sin that is found within our land, that the fear of God will return, and God will come in mighty power. O Father, for our nation as a whole, we cry unto Thee. We pray that Thou wilt be very near, that Thou wilt undertake in these days. We thank Thee even for the moving of God across this world. We're thankful, O God, for souls that are being saved. We're thankful for those that are being brought out of cults, for those that are being brought out of the darkness of sin. And Father, we pray that Thou wilt continue to move. We're thankful for the changes in laws even there in America. We praise Thee, O God, for the overturning of Roe versus Wade. And Father, we pray that that will be but the start. We pray, O God, that every single state in the days that come will overturn and will close down every abortion clinic. We pray right across this world. O Father, there's anarchy. There's anger even against this law. But Father, we pray for Great Britain. We pray that that law will be overturned. We pray for Northern Ireland. We pray for the South. We pray right across the world that this abortion, this evil that there has been for so many years, will be taken away. And Lord, all of the immoral laws that are upon the books of our governments, Lord, in the days to come, that they will be transformed and changed. And, O God, even taken away from our society. Lord, I can't do it. The king's hearts is in the hands of the Lord. O Father, turn them, we pray Thee. Lord, bless us in this house today. May our hearts be full of joy and praise unto our God. May our praise be uplifting even unto Thee. Hear and answer prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. 266. And we'll sing together 266. I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross He suffered from the curse to set me free. 266 will stand again as we sing, please. Let's stand again. Amen. We read together this morning Psalm 144. Psalm 144. Bears the title, the Psalm of David. Psalm 144, the verse 1, Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him? Or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity, his days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning, and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows, and destroy them. Send thine hand from above, rid me, and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings, will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labour, that there be no breaking in or going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word to our hearts today. 351. We'll sing together the hymn 351, When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. We'll remain seated for the opening 3 verses together, and then we'll stand for verses 4 and 5. stand for the two verses, please. Come this morning to the book of Ruth again, and this time to the chapter 3. The book of Ruth in the chapter 3. I want to read together the opening two verses of the chapter just this morning. Ruth chapter 3, the verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? Now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. I want to speak this morning on the subject Ruth's greatest need. Ruth's greatest need. Let's just still ourselves in God's presence. Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee. We thank and praise Thee this day that, God, for many here that we can say from the depths of our heart that it is well. It is well with my soul. But Father, we do pray that each and every one will be able to say that. We pray from the youngest right through to the oldest, each one that is here, and those that will listen maybe online or a later time, Lord, that it will truly be well with each and every soul. Father, we do pray now for the going forth of Thy Word. We pray for that power that only Thou canst give. We pray for that stillness that only Thou canst bring. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt move, that Thou wilt speak even by Thy Holy Spirit. Lord, come and endue us with that power even now. I confess my need of it. I confess, O God, I have nothing and I am nothing without it. Lord, empty me of self and of sin. Fill me. Use me this day, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. What a special time in Israel harvest was. So much excitement, so much optimism within the people. Such was that manifest joy of the people in the land whenever God gave bread, that even that wonderful tidings, the good tidings, the great tidings of the bread coming, that news had spread far and wide, even reaching, as we've noted in the past, the ears of Naomi, as she recited in Moab. And that time in Moab, or that time in Israel, as the harvest came, as Bethlehem now was motivated and moved to bring in that harvest, then another momentous occasion took place. Naomi had returned after 10 years of prodigal living. 10 years since she and her husband and the children had left. Now Naomi returns home. her return to the town had caused everyone to stop what they were doing, even though it was busy time, even though it was harvest time. Chapter 1, verse 19 tells us all of the city was moved about them. Naomi has come home. And with her a Moabitish damsel who had never set foot in the town before, a stranger to the people, a stranger to the land. And this damsel comes back, and this damsel has a desire even to work. She comes to Boaz's field in the providence of God, and she meets with the Lord of the harvest himself. She meets with Boaz. Boaz, he comes to the field, and Boaz then, he sets his eyes upon this young girl, this young lady. And from that meeting, even though it coming together of the two, they are inseparable. Every day of that harvest, that wheat and that barley harvest, every day Ruth returns to the same field, and every day Boaz is there. She had declared, whenever Boaz had spoken to her, she had said, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldst take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" And from that very first day, she had experienced grace. The harvest continued, the barley and the wheat harvest are brought in. And over these weeks, surely we have seen that wonderful picture of the gospel in those first two chapters. We have seen grace after grace, grace upon grace, even being brought to us through the lives of Ruth and of Boaz. But now we come to a slight change. Chapters 1 and 2, you could say, is Ruth finding grace. Chapters 3 and 4 is Ruth finding rest. And that's a wonderful picture even of the gospel. And in the gospel, naturally, the one follows the other. But grace must always come first. You can never have rest if you haven't experienced grace. You can never have rest of mind or rest of body or rest of soul or rest of heart until first you've experienced the grace of God within your life. Ruth could not and did not enter into the rest until first she'd experienced the grace. The harvest now is coming to an end. It tells us there, the verse 23 of chapter 2, that she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest. Harvest is coming to an end. What next for Ruth? Her busyness had been in the fields. Her activity had been in the fields. She had a job within the fields. "Stay in my fields," Boaz had told her. "Remain fast beside my handmaidens," he had commanded her. And she had been there day after day. But now the harvest is coming to an end. What would be her future? Ruth now had a great need. Yea, it was her greatest need. Three things I want to leave with you this morning. I want you to see firstly the verse number 1, the duty. The duty, it tells us that Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee?" You know, it certainly is wonderful to see the change that has taken place in Naomi. The beginning of chapter 2, you'll remember Naomi sitting in the house. She's no desire, she's no motivation, she's no interest in anything. She is sitting there in the house. Ruth gets up and says, "I'm going to the fields." And Naomi just goes, "Well, go on." But by the end of chapter 2, when Ruth has returned that first day and brought that ephah of barley with her and brought the testimony of how good Boaz was and how gracious Boaz was, Naomi has changed. We noted that last week. The bitterness is gone. The blessedness has returned. And from that first day of harvest that Ruth took part in, for the remaining days of harvest, Naomi is now motivated. And in those days, she had a great interest. She had a great concern for her daughter-in-law. She has that understanding that for Ruth, there would be no rest outside of marriage. Marriage brought rest to a lady in those days. Whenever a lady was married, therefore then she was under the protection, she was under the care, she was under even the provision, the security of the husband. Therefore, her needs were met. And Naomi knew that. She knew that Ruth needed that union, or else there would be no rest. We see that even in what she speaks of in chapter 1, verse 9. Whenever she begins her journey with Ruth and also with Orpah, because Naomi's seeking to tell them to go back to their own mother's house. And she says in the verse 9 of chapter 1, "The Lord grant ye that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." In other words, Orpah and Ruth, if you find a husband, may you find your rest. You see, there would be no rest for Ruth mentally or physically in Bethlehem without a union. And Naomi makes it her duty. Naomi makes it that duty even to show Ruth clearly where rest is to be found. She is not simply abandoning Ruth and saying, "Well, it's up to you. You're your own independent woman. You do what you want." No, Naomi is making it that duty even within her own life. "I must find you a husband." And she goes further than that because she'll show her exactly who to marry. You know how imperative it is that each one here today has spiritual rest. How imperative it is today that each and every one of us has that rest even within our soul. That's what Christ came and preached about. That's a desire, that is the need of each and every one here today, that ye might have rest even in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." Hebrews 4:3 says, "For we which hath believed do enter into rest." Hebrews 4:9, it says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." And time again within Scripture and even within the Gospel, it is brought to us there is rest to be found. There is rest that is needed, and it is only found in Jesus Christ. That is the joy, and that is the wonderful experience for every individual who is in union with Christ. Rest. When we are united with Him, we are at rest. So therefore, naturally, it follows that those who are not saved, those who are not united to Christ, there is no rest. That's what the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 57:20. He says, "The wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up the mire and the dirt." Verse 21, "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." Unsaved, let me be very clear with you today. You have no rest. You cannot have rest if you do not have Jesus Christ. You will not find peace or rest in this world. That's the truth that God has revealed to us. That's the experience of each one. There is no rest outside of Christ. And therefore, that surely is the duty even today, even for each one of us, and that's a desire even of the preacher to show forth that there is no rest outside of Christ. That's a desire even as we go into the open air this afternoon and as we preach forth the gospel, that the rest to be found is found in Christ. Let me ask the question today, have you rest? Have you peace? You see, I say with the words of Naomi, "Shall I not seek rest for thee?" As I said, the desire of the preacher's heart, the desire of every Christian ought to be that each and every one, that we know each and every one within our families, that they have that rest. Do you have rest today? Do you have that union with Christ? There was a duty, but then secondly, I want you to see also the verse 1. There was a desire. Because Naomi goes on to say, she says, "My daughter, shall I not seek a rest for thee?" And then she says these words, "That it may be well with thee." Oh, what a desire that is. even for Naomi to declare to Ruth. She isn't interested in how much wealth or fame Ruth could have. She simply wants it to be well with her. Now I'm reminded of the Shunammite woman, 2 Kings 4. She only had one son. That son died upon her knee. Then she gets up and she has that desire to go to Elisha. And Elisha sees her from afar off, even as she's coming. And Elisha sends his servant Gehazi even to meet her, and he sends her with these questions, 2 Kings 4:26. He sends her with a specific set of questions. Gehazi, go and ask her three things. Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child? He didn't ask about anything else about this Shunammite woman. As she came to him, the desire of Elisha was this: is it well? I think also of David's concern for his son Absalom. In the aftermath of the battle, the messengers start to come. They're coming to tell David the news of the victory. They're coming to tell David all about the battle. And yet David isn't interested. He only wants to know one detail. 2 Samuel 18, verse 20 or 32. Is the young man Absalom safe? Is it well with him? This was Naomi's greatest concern for Ruth. This was her great passion. This was her great motivation in life. Above all else that she wanted it to be well with Ruth. Tell me today, is it well with you? Is it well with your soul? We sang that hymn earlier, "It is well. It is well with my soul." And many of us sang it from the depths of our heart. The words of it are written by Horatio Spafford. This hymn was penned after two major traumas in Spafford's life. The first was the great Chicago fire of 1871, which ruined him financially. The second was when all four of his Spafford's daughters drowned in the Atlantic as their ship collided with another ship. All four of his daughters drowned. His wife survived and sent a telegram to Spafford saying, "I am saved alone." A number of weeks later, Spafford sailed across the sea himself. As he came to that point in the ocean where his daughters had drowned, these words came to him. He wrote them down. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Spafford wrote the words. Philip P. Bliss wrote the music. Shortly after Philip P. Bliss had wrote the music to that hymn, "It is well with my soul," Bliss died in a tragic train accident. But it was well with their souls. No, to Naomi, only one thing mattered. It's the only thing that was upon her mind and her heart. As she watched Ruth going every day to the field and working, as she watched even Ruth coming in every evening and bringing even that grain with her, bringing even that barley with her, as she listened to Ruth speak, as she listened to Ruth account and recount all that had taken place in the field day by day, and all that Boaz had done, and all that Boaz had provided, Naomi's mind and her heart was one thing and one thing only. "Ruth, I need it to be well with you. Wanted to be well with you. The time is moving on. The harvest is coming to an end. Ruth, you're still just as you are, working in the field. Ruth, you need rest. You need it to be well." You know, you think of how life moves on so quickly. We're in the last Sunday of June. Kids finish school again this week. Come and can't wait. They can't, I can. How quickly 6 months have gone. How quickly the years just rise and fall away. I think of those words in Jeremiah, the harvest is ended. The summer's passed. Not saved. Life, at best, is very brief. A young person, I used to, whenever we came to the end of June, I used to think, 8 weeks is so long. And I'm only going to do so much. 8 weeks comes and goes so quickly. Lifetimes come and go so quickly. But have you rest? Is it well with your soul? Naomi said to Ruth, the harvest coming to an end. Indeed it ended. Naomi says to her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? Is it well with you? Have you rest today? Then thirdly and finally, the verse 2. The duty and the desire, but then the verse 2, we see the deliverer. Because immediately after proclaiming that she's desiring rest and that it may be well with her, immediately Naomi says, and now is not Boaz of our kindred. Naomi wants Ruth to have rest. She wants it to be well with her. But there's only one name in the mix. There's only one option upon the table in terms of Naomi as she brings it to Ruth. There's no other man is being mentioned. It's Boaz, and it's Boaz only. You know, you think of it, Naomi had all of the harvest time. Once the Spirit worked within her, once she moved from the bitterness to the blessedness, she had the rest, the remaining time of all of the harvest, and she knew so many of the individuals, she knew so many of the town, she knew all of the single available men. She knew those that were close kindred, she knew those that were neighbours, those that were friends, those that were family. She knew all of the men, she knew all of the single ones, she knew all of their heart. She only mentions one name. Boaz. She doesn't give Ruth, I've got a line up here for you. There's five names, there's six names. Ruth, you can go through them. Some are better looking than the others. Some have more money than the others. No, Naomi comes with one name. There's Boaz. Yes, I'm sure there were other men who could have married and would have married Ruth if they had the chance. I'm sure there were single men in Bethlehem who desired Ruth. I'm sure there were others there that would have very quickly, if it could have happened, they would have taken Ruth to be their wife. But Ruth didn't simply need a man to marry. She needed a redeemer. That's why Naomi says in the verse 2, is not Boaz of our kindred? You see, the law dictated she had to be redeemed by a kindred. She had to be redeemed by a near kinsman, by one who was close affiliation, by one who could step in, by one who could take on Ruth, could take on all of her needs, by one who was in that line, as it were, stepped down from them, that could come in and do all that was needed. So Naomi comes up and she brings that key, as she brings that individual, is not Boaz of our kindred. You see, he's the one, yea, he's the only one whom Naomi would recommend. And ultimately, we will see as time goes on, he was the only one who could redeem her. He's the only one who wanted to redeem her. He's the only one who eventually will redeem her. See, there was none other good enough to provide Ruth all that she needed. You know, Boaz, again, as we've looked at him so many times before, what a perfect type of Christ we have in Boaz. D.L. Moody actually made a list of all of the pictures of Christ that are seen in Boaz. Because in Boaz we see Christ as the Lord of the harvest, the near kinsman, the supplier of our needs, the redeemer of the inheritance, the man who gives rest, the wealthy kinsman, and eventually the bridegroom. See, my friend, Christ is the only one who can give you rest. Christ is the only one who ensures it's well with your soul. Christ is the only one who's the redeemer of God's elect. He is the only kindredsman, he is the only kinsman that can step in and can take care of all of your needs, take care of all of your wants, take care of you. Ruth couldn't, or Naomi couldn't. And Naomi wouldn't recommend anyone apart from Boaz. My friend, this morning I cannot and I will not recommend to you any other except for Christ. I will not and I cannot recommend any other man, any other religion, any other individual, any other ideology. There is none other save Christ. What did Peter say? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby ye must be saved. It is Christ, and it's Christ alone. You come to Christ, He will give you rest. You come to Christ, it will be well with your soul. You come to Christ, you'll be united with Him forever. But you have to come to Him. You can't just sit where you are. You see, we're going to see next week, Ruth actually had to get up and go to Boaz. She couldn't simply sit where she was. She went to where Boaz was. She went to that place where Boaz was winnowing and Boaz was doing that work even there upon the threshing floor. She went to Boaz. You must come to Christ. That's what Christ said, "Come unto me and I will give you rest." My friend, you must come. That was Ruth's greatest need. She needed rest. She needed it be well with her. My friend, your greatest need is not to get through exams or get another paycheck. Your greatest need is salvation. Your greatest need is Christ. You come to Him, you will have rest. You come to Him, it will be well with your soul. Will you come today? Even now? Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we bow before Thee. We thank Thee and praise Thee, O God, for the simplicity even of the gospel. We thank Thee for our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, the One who loved us, gave Himself for us. We thank Thee for the rest that is found in Christ. We thank Thee, O God, for the assurance of rest and of peace, and that it is well with our souls. O God, we thank Thee that when we come in repentance and faith unto Christ, that our sins are dealt with not in part, but in the whole. And we bear them no more. Lord, we do pray that each one that is here this day will have experienced that rest and that peace that only God can give. Lord, remember us even now as we separate one from the other. We pray, O God, that I will speak on and take what has been of Thee and use it. We pray, O God, even for the afternoon meeting that Thou wilt bless. That Thou wilt gather many even here to hear the gospel. Thou wilt undertake, O God, and Thou wilt save precious souls. Lord, be near to us even now. Bless us this day, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.